We're back again, and we're excited to go to the Word of God. And so, being the first Sunday of the month, as our habit has been during this time in this season, we are doing a Healing School Sunday. Now, just a little bit of context, and it was great because we're going to take communion together as well, which I think is a beautiful part of it. What we felt off the start of this year for 2020 was that God said, I want you to take time. This is what I just really felt stirring in my heart. I want you to take time every week, every month, to really lean in for healing and to lean in for the supernatural and to lean in and really expect God to do something like that. We would grow in this. And so we said, yeah, let's do it. And so we said, okay, we're going to take the first Sunday of the month, and it might change it over time, but we're taking the first Sunday of the month and we're going to lean in for healing and we're going to go after it. And so we did it in February. We did it in March. Well, we got into the start of April and we're in this online experience now, but I felt my heart, why not do it? You know, why not go ahead? Why not take the time? Like, let's just keep being obedient to what God called us to. We are in a time where we need revelation of healing, right? We need a revelation of the power of God to flow in our lives, to flow in the lives of people and to impact them. So we why not lean in? So we did it. And we did it at the start of April, a powerful time. And I love the testimonies we heard of people who were healed in their homes. It was so encouraging. There were people who were literally healed. And I believe there's even more testimonies that are coming forth. So we're just going to dive right into this today. We're going to go back. We're going to go into the Word regarding healing. We're going to press into this more, and then we're going to pray. And I'm believing God once again today for miracles. I'm believing God for healing as we gather in this context. Amen? So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the teaching of the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for just your heart and this call and this season for us as a church to contend for the supernatural, to press in for healing. We readily admit, God, that we know very little of all that there is to know about this. But we are on a journey where we're hungry and we're thirsty for more. And so, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you and we thank you for teaching us and instructing us in this time, teaching and instructing us in this situation as we're walking this together. In Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with me said, amen. All right. And so the topic that I want to address today is very simply, I want to talk about why isn't everyone healed? Now, let's just backtrack a little bit. In our first teaching in this year that we did, we talked about why healing. And I just shared the heart of why would we even, of all the things we could focus on, why are we focusing on healing and the supernatural? The second teaching, and you can go back online and you can find these things, but in the second teaching, we talked about just the power of God. And we talked about really positioning ourselves and contending and believing for power. We talked about being anointed with power. So again, it was a foundational message that God wants us. The kingdom is not just about talk, but it's about power. And so we were talking about dealing and going into that and pushing forward into that. And then last teaching, so last month, we talked about why God's will is healing. And we went to the scriptures and we talked clearly from the scriptures why it's very clear teaching that God's will is always healing. That healing is God's will, healing is God's nature, and that it is always healing. And so we focused through that, we worked through that, and at the end of the message, I addressed a question that would be in the majority of our mind, which is saying this, well, if healing is always the will of God, why is everyone not healed? Right? And that's a very fair question. I think it's a question that if we're honest, we all have to process through and we all have to wrestle with. I shared very openly with you, everyone I've prayed for has not been healed. You know, my father-in-law, Cher's dad, he went home to be with the Lord a number of years ago after a battle with cancer. My brother-in-law, Cher's brother, he went home to be with the Lord after a lifetime of illnesses. You know, we lost our first pregnancy to miscarriage. So, sometimes people can kind of teach and preach these things kind of from a place and it seems like, well, you've never been through anything. Listen, I've been through it. You may have been through less, you may have been through more, but we've walked through it. And I stand boldly in the middle of that and say, I can see clearly in the Word that it's God's will to heal. But I've had to process and we've had to talk about, okay, but why then are people not healed? Now, one of the things that I've encouraged us as a church family in several times out of this teaching is the options we have when someone isn't healed. And the first one is to go, well, in my experience, because here's what I found. Most of the time, if I talk with someone and they're struggling with the fact that it's God's will for everyone to be healed, or it's, you know, healing is God's will, guys, like real talks, usually what comes up very quickly is a story of someone they prayed for that wasn't healed. And I don't say that like in a bad way. I think if we've all prayed for people, right? If, frankly, if you haven't prayed for someone that wasn't healed, are you praying for enough people, right? Like there's this element of we want to be pushing out there, taking steps of faith and going for it. So all that to say this, I'm just saying most of the time, if we approach this very honestly and very humbly, our struggles usually don't come from what we read in the Bible. Our struggles tend to come from what we've experienced in our life. And so what I did was I shared a approach that we can take where instead of going, well, I didn't experience it, so it must not be true, to going, well, I didn't experience it. You know, this is option number two. I would say we pick option number two, where it's like, I didn't experience it, but I see it really clear in the Word. So there must be some revelation here that we need to press into. There must be some things that we've got to contend for so we can walk in. In other words, I don't know, but let's go on a journey and find out. And as we press into that together, each time we're going to get further and further. Jesus healed them all. We don't yet. We got to be like on one level okay with that, another level not okay with that, because we want to believe for every single person. But see, it's a really key important thing for us to understand. But what I wanted to talk about today, and we'll see how this teaching goes. It may carry a little bit over into next week as well too. We'll see how we walk this thing. Next week, but our next teach on this, we'll walk it out and see how it goes. But here's the question. Why isn't everyone healed? Because obviously I'd laid a foundation and said, listen, we may not understand why, but it doesn't mean we can't keep believing and keep pressing in for it. But here's the flip side of it, guys. The Bible is actually very clear just as well, though, for many reasons why people aren't healed. Now, again, I'm not going to try and, you know, have answers to everything. I think there is an element of mystery, and there always will be an element of mystery that we've got to kind of wrestle with and we've got to kind of chew on, right? There will always be an element of mystery that we have to grapple with, because the Bible says now we see through a glass dimly, we know in part, but then we're going to see fully, we're going to see him face to face. So there are elements of mystery, but on the flip side, we're saying we're going on this journey of getting more wisdom and getting more revelation and getting more understanding. And here's the deal, guys. The Bible is actually very clear for many reasons why people aren't healed. And so in my mind, I'm going, I want to know what those reasons are so I can make sure I don't do them, or I can make sure I do the exact opposite of them, right? If it's in the scriptures, we don't just want to get in the zone of, well, we just don't know, we just don't understand, so I guess we just have to trust God. Well, yeah, there's things we don't know and there's things we don't understand, let's trust God. But let's also go to the Word and let's go on a journey and let's see, what does God say are things that hinder healing? What does God say are things that can stop us from being healed? Because maybe you're listening to me and you're believing for healing, or you're listening to me and you're believing for someone around you to be healed. If I'm in that place, I mean, in some ways I am, I want to know, what are the things that cause hindrance, right? What are the things that stop in this step? Because then I can at least knock those things off. And maybe there's still more I have to learn, but maybe one of those things is what's actually stopping me from walking in healing right now. And so it's this journey, because again, guys, the Bible is actually very clear. It's very clear about many things that will stop healing in our lives. You know, it's interesting because, again, what we've got to be very cautious about, and I just want to make sure I kind of double back to this, is that we are basing our faith on the Word and not on our experience. Now, I'm not trying to negate all of experience. Experience can play an important part in what God is doing. But we want to make sure our foundation for our faith is not our experience or lack thereof, but the Word of God. So I want to go to the scriptures, and I want to talk to you about some reasons why people are not healed. Now, let me just make sure a couple ground rules we're going to lay, and I definitely think we may extend this into a second teaching. Number one, I've seen some people who come with a very calloused or arrogant attitude of explaining why people aren't healed. It's kind of like, well, it's your fault. That's just not my heart at all, right? We're all on a journey. We're all learning. I am definitely learning. I am not the expert in all this. And I do not want one ounce of perspective to come through where we're kind of pointing the finger at people. You know, sometimes you're like, well, it's your fault you're not healed. You didn't have this or you didn't have that. And it's like, that's not the spirit of God at all. Right? That's not the way God treats us. That's not God's heart for us. And so I don't want any ounce of that to leak into what we're teaching. We're saying, no, we're humble. We're seeking God, but we're humbly looking and saying, what are roadblocks that might be stopping us? What are challenges that may be sabotaging what we're believing God for? What are things that may be cutting the flow of the power? Right? Like, we need the power. So if the power's getting cut off, I want to know what's cutting off the power. I want to know what is cutting in and do it. And so what I've actually done is I'd mentioned at the start of this journey, there were several different resources that I really encouraged them. One of them was Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And F.F. Bosworth was a great healing minister, and I guess you could say healing evangelist, that was in the early part of the last century. And he was just an incredible teacher of the Word of God, saw incredible signs and wonders and healings and miracles. And he was a very strong theologian of healing. And so his work, Christ the Healer, is still like a foundational teaching on healing for today. And so he talked about, in that teaching, he had a message that talked about reasons people aren't healed. And so rather than try and reinvent the wheel, I'm just going to build on top of what he said. So if you want to dive even deeper into some of my points, get Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. You can just Zoom, Google it, track it down, get it on Amazon, but it's really worth the investment. So here's some reasons from the scriptures why sometimes people are not healed. Number one is insufficient instruction. That was his language, all called a lack of knowledge. The scripture for this is Hosea 4 verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forget your children. I mean, it's a serious indictment from the Lord in there. But I want to focus on that first part of the verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The first reason why people are not healed is they don't know that God is a healer. Or they don't know that God wants to heal them. They don't know, they don't have an understanding. That's why the teaching of the Word of God is so important. That's why sharing and encouraging people around us in this truth is so important. Because if you don't know, you know, you ever heard the saying, well, what you don't know can't hurt you? Well, in the spirit realm, in the kingdom of God, what you don't know can definitely hurt you. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what? There's many people right now in our world, they don't know that God is real. They don't know that God heals. And so they don't walk in his healing power, because there's a really key element here of knowing. It comes, and there's faith and understanding, but if we don't know, we're not going to walk in it. There's many believers that don't know this truth. Now, I'm thankful. I think more believers than ever before, if you watch even the work of God in the nations, they know about God's power to heal, and they believe, they have that hope, but there's many people that have not been properly taught. And I want you to get this. There's many of us that maybe have not been properly taught. Even as I was doing some study for this teaching, I was going through some of, you know, F.F. Bosworth's points, and I've been going, man, okay, I need to dig deeper in this. I need to invest more in this. There is a lack of knowledge that stops many people. And here's what happens, guys, is sometimes the Bible says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. But sometimes we fall into the trap of we don't invest in the Word and getting to understand more. And then when destruction comes, or when, you know, things don't go the way we want, oh God, what happened? And God says, well, listen, I put it all here for you, but you didn't take the time to grow and develop in it. Right? I think it's interesting too, because when I look at insufficient instruction, guys, if we want to walk in a high level of anointing and healing, we cannot just, you know, half listen to a message while we're on our phone once a year and expect to be walking in it, right? We've got to invest in studying. This is not a work of the flesh, but it's positioning ourselves for revelation. And so insufficient instruction can be a cause for not being healed. So we'll flip that. And if I want to see healing in my life, maybe I've been frustrated, what I need to do is I need to invest in studying the Word. I need to invest in growing, in understanding what God says about this. And so that's number one, insufficient instruction. Another reason of why people are not healed is a lack of united prayer. A lack of united prayer in a church family or in a church community. it's saying this way, if there is a low level of prayer and engaging in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there often is not an atmosphere that is created for healing to happen. Guys, there's spiritual principles, there's spiritual laws that are put in place. And I've been guilty as much as anybody else. But there's times where we're not pressing in prayer. We are not creating an atmosphere for an outpouring of the Spirit. And then we come into circumstances and situations where we need power to manifest, but we have not been doing our part to position ourselves for that. Now, again, let me be clear. I'm not talking about just works of the flesh and it's all on us. But listen, we need to have a heart. That's why I think this season, one of the things we can pull out of this season, again, it's time for cream puff Christianity is over. But you know, sometimes we don't take our faith seriously. We're not in prayer. We're not creating an atmosphere for outpouring. And all of a sudden something big comes. Like, okay, God, I'm going to press in now. But what happened? Like, it's too late. Right? In some ways, like still sometimes God in his love still comes through for us. But we should have been ready. We should have already been pressing in. Do you remember the story when Jesus came down from the mountain and the boy was demon-possessed and the father came to him and said, your disciples couldn't cast him out. Can you cast him out? And so Jesus cast the demon out of the child and he was restored. And his disciples came to him afterwards and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, well, this kind of only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, it's interesting because I want you to know, when Jesus saw the father and saw the boy, Jesus didn't say, you know what? I need to go pray and fast. I'm going to come back in 3 days. Bring him back in 3 days, I'll heal him. No, Jesus dealt with it right there. Why? Because Jesus had already prayed. He had already fasted, so he was ready for the moment. Right? And guys, I think we have to have some real humility and honesty. Is if we're living Christian lives with very little prayer, very little fasting, very little very little cultivating atmosphere of the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, when we face a challenge, we now go, okay, God, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to do it now. Like, does that sound right? Now, thankfully, God in his mercy still bails us out and he comes through so many times. But there is an atmosphere of revival, of outpouring, of healings and signs and wonders that is cultivated over time. And that's part of what my passion is, even in doing these teachings and pressing this together, that we would create that in conjunction with, like, in being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not us who do it, it's him who does it, but we participate. But see, if we're going to be in a place where there's low levels of prayer, there's low levels of engaging with the Holy Spirit and pressing in for him, and then we're saying, well, why are we not seeing more power? Right now, here's the flip side. That's the reason not. So what if we said, you know what? We're going to dive deeper into prayer. We're going to dive deeper into creating atmospheres of revival and for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know what's going to happen? We are going to see the healings go up. So number one, we see that people are not healed because of insufficient instruction. Number two, we see that people are not healed because of a lack of united prayer. Number three, the Bible is really clear. There were times where people were not healed because of community unbelief. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 6, 1-6. It says, then he went out from there, this is Jesus, and came to his own country. And his disciple followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is that it was given to him that these mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? Remember, we've been studying James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were, watch this, offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went along the village in a circuit teaching. Now guys, I don't know about you, this for me maybe has got to be one of the saddest passages that you can find in the Bible. Jesus is there. He's in his hometown. He has been healing people everywhere he goes. He's been working signs and wonders everywhere he goes. But when he comes to his hometown, they're familiar with him. They knew him. Some of them said, I knew you when you were 8 years old. I knew you growing up. Yeah, we know your family. And the Bible says they became offended at him. And because of that, and because of this community unbelief, the Bible says he could only heal a few sick people. There was only a few that he could. It didn't even say he only would. It actually said he could. In other words, the community unbelief limited the healing power of Jesus. Now, if that happened in that day and age, how much more now? if we are in an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief, and we are creating this community, or I mean, we can really talk about it, we could dive into it, it's a little further down in our points, but offense, and we become offended. Like, you're in a church family, and there's a lot of lukewarmness. Let's just use this as an example, right? There's lots of lukewarmness. There's lots of people that are living in hidden sin. There is kind of this general, you know, just lack of belief and faith in God. Why would we expect in those kind of atmospheres to see massive miracles and healings, right? It didn't happen when Jesus himself was there in the flesh. Why would it happen here? See, and so it strikes me in this, it's sobering. It's a little scary. It also really challenges me because, again, when there's community unbelief, it hinders the healing anointing. But when there's community faith, things can explode, right? So let's make a choice. Let's make the decision that we are going to be people who believe, right? That's why it's so important we process through some of these things, because a lot of us get poisoned by disappointment. We get poisoned by unbelief. And then when we gather together, there's a lot of doubt, there's a lot of disappointment, there's a lot of unbelief, and it can actually hinder what God wants to do. But if we flip the script and we go before the Lord, we say, okay, God, purify my heart, get me on board here. I choose to believe. Help my unbelief. If I need help, my unbelief. But we do that together, guys. We see miracles. We see healings. Can we commit together? Can you commit with me? Can we commit together to say we're going to believe God for this? Can we commit together, even like on this streaming experience, the story, so I believe people are going to be healed today. Will you believe with me on that? Now, I know maybe to someone who's uninitiated on that side, they think, oh, this sounds really weird, but this is faith. Will you believe with me? Will we believe together? Because if community unbelief can hinder the healing anointing, then community faith can energize the healing anointing. And I think that proves out very well throughout scriptures. Amen? All right, so let's keep moving here. Number one, sometimes people are not healed because of insufficient instruction. Number two, sometimes people are not healed because of a lack of united prayer and an atmosphere that is created by that. Number three, sometimes people are not healed because of community unbelief. Let's move to number four. Sometimes people are not healed because of the traditions of men. Now again, this is another one of those sobering scriptures, right? We saw that community unbelief could hinder. Well, Jesus actually goes and addresses this in some degree. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, he says, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do. Now, this verse really gets my attention. And I even just now am asking the Lord, Lord, show us. Let me just pray this right now. Lord, show us any area where tradition has caused your word to be of no effect in our lives. What is a tradition? Well, he said it really clearly. It's something that is handed down to you, right? It's something that has been handed down. In other words, a teaching or a mindset or perspective that is not actually what the Word of God says, but it's something that we've become comfortable with or accustomed to or are used to. And Jesus said, when we hold on to these things, it actually nullifies the power of the Word of God in our lives. So guys, what we've got to do is we've got to go to the Word, see what the Word says, and then we've got to start comparing what we believe to the Scriptures. And if what we're believing or what we were taught or what we've been used to does not line up with the Scriptures, we need to make a decision to go with the Scriptures. Like I know, even in doing this teaching, there may be some of you listening to me, and I'm stepping on some toes a little bit for you, because maybe for years you'd been taught something different, or maybe you're not even in the TCC community, and you've just happened upon this video, and maybe even I'm making you a little angry by saying some of these things, but here's all I would ask of you. Go to the Word. Make sure the Word is your foundation, and then look at things that we've been taught, things that we've been, and understand, like, listen, if I'm believing that, it actually, Jesus said that can nullify the power of the Word. In other words, the power is there, the power is present to heal, but my traditions nullify it, right? That should put some holy fear in all of us, because it's like, how much are we nullifying at the Word because of our traditions? Can I give you an example? You ever heard somebody say, well, you know, God's just never going to give you more than you can bear and never more than you can handle? Right? I just know I have all this stuff going on, but God's just not going to give me more than I handle. If it's happening, he must have known I can handle it. Now, I understand what people are saying when they do that, but that's actually not in the Bible. Right? The Bible never says God's not going to give you more than you can handle. It's not in there. The verse isn't there. It does say he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but that's talking about a very specific situation of his protection around us, so we are not going to get overwhelmed by the enemy. But it never said God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Right? And again, I understand why and maybe how that's therapeutic. We need to understand God's going to give us victory and that God's protection is with us. But again, that's a tradition. So what happens is the devil could be attacking you with something. You go, well, God's not going to give me more than I can handle. But it's not God, it's the devil. But I think this is God. So I just yield to it instead of resisting it, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. And I'm having something in my life I was never meant to have in my life, but a tradition caused me to embrace it rather than to resist it. You get what I'm saying with that? We need to ask, and again, humbly, guys, like humbly, God, show me where I'm believing a tradition rather than believing your word. Now, what are some traditions regarding this area of healing that maybe we've got to go back to and look at the earth? You know, one is that God is the author of disease. That God is the author of disease or sickness. And I think today this is not as common, but that some people, and historically people believe that, well, God gave you this. God is the one who gave you the sickness. God is the one who gave you the sickness to teach you something or to make you a better Christian or to glorify himself in some regard. And I love what Bosworth says. He says this very pointedly. He said, if sickness be the will of God for his worshipers, then every physician is a lawbreaker. Every trained nurse is defying the Almighty, and every hospital is a house of rebellion rather than a house of mercy. Isn't that good? I mean, man, he just hits it right there, very eloquently hits it right there. Guys, it's a tradition to say God's the author of disease. God is not the author of disease. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've got to make sure we don't hold on to that tradition. If I believe that God's the author of my disease, how am I going to believe him for healing? Right? It's a tradition. Another tradition is that we glorify God by staying sick. Now, I'm not saying that the way someone perseveres through a spiritual, like a battle for healing, cannot glorify God, but God does not get glory by you just staying sick, right? And Bosworth said it this way. He said, if you glorify God by staying sick, then Jesus was continually robbing the Father of his glory because everywhere he went, he was healing people. No, guys, God gets glory when we are healed and we are whole and we're raised up. That's what glorifies God. Now, again, let me say this. Is there times where someone perseveres through something and really demonstrates Jesus to people? For sure. But we are not going to say you should just stay there. You fight for healing, contend for healing, walk this thing out. We are going to glorify God by putting our focus on him, and we're going to glorify God by seeing people healed and raised up. You know, another tradition that maybe affects some of us is a tradition that says, well, the age of healing is past. You know, some people call this cessationalist theology. And again, if you're listening and you embrace cessationalist theology, I love you. Still my brother, sister in Christ, but I really want to challenge you on that, right? The scripturally, the Bible, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The need for the power of God lives did not cease once the apostles left the earth. And we see it historically. We're seeing it today. We see it in the scriptures. We need to believe God. So let's do that. And there's so many other traditions that can come in. You know, we're going to talk a little bit in some point. We'll get here about, well, I guess this is just a thorn in the flesh. Well, no, the thorn in the flesh wasn't a sickness. It was a messenger of Satan. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? So we want to get these traditions uprooted. Why? Because the Bible says a tradition nullifies the power of the word of God. Right? So again, guys, this is where we're going. We're saying we want to become more proficient in healing. We want to walk in healing. So even as we've touched on these things, and I'll hit one more up today, if there's insufficient instruction, it stops people from getting healed. If there is a lack of united prayer, an atmosphere that's created by that, people don't get healed. If there's community unbelief, we see in the Bible that people were not healed. If there's traditions of men, Jesus himself said this nullifies the word of God. Right? And so we need to take these things to heart, but then we need to flip it and say, okay, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to become, if I'm destroyed for lack of knowledge, I'm going to grow in my understanding. I'm going to dig into the word of God. I'm going to be part of a community where we are a praying church, believing God for miracles and signs and wonders and healings. We're going to be people, we're not going to be a community of unbelief. We're going to be a community of belief and faith. And we're going to ask God to show us every tradition in our hearts that does not align with the word. And we're going to ask God to bring it into alignment. And last but not least, I'll say one more thing really quickly. And we're going to spend some more time on this in our next teaching. But sometimes people are not healed because they're breaking natural laws. And what I mean by this is, we have to be very cautious in that sometimes we And there's this perspective that it's like, well, I'm just going to do my thing. So I'll give you a real example. I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. I'm just going to eat garbage and junk all the time. I'm never going to take care of my body. I'm never going to do natural things, but I'm just going to believe God to heal me, right? Like I just, you know, I mean, some of us think, well, that sounds like a good idea. I can just eat all the junk food I want, eat whatever I want to eat, and just walk in healing power. Well, listen, God expects us to do our part. If someone's listening going, well, I just really made some bad mistakes with choices in my life, and can I still, will God heal? Oh yeah, of course, still. But we've got to listen for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, make sure we're not breaking natural laws, right? You need to sleep in a healthy way. If you're not sleeping, don't just go and keep getting prayer because I don't understand why I'm kind of going crazy when my health's falling apart. You're not sleeping. If you're not eating well, right? That's why there's an element, like even with everything that's happening in our culture right now, we honor our doctors, we honor our healthcare providers. We want to stand with them, let them do the natural. We're going to pray and believe for the spiritual. We want to do everything we can to support. But if we are breaking natural laws, right, there's times where that is going to shut down what God wants to do. We've got to come into obedience in the natural. Amen? And so that's it for today. We're going to bring it close again. We're going to be back in our next teaching. We're going to continue to talk more about these because again, it kind of came where we're talking about why we weren't healed, but if we flip these things, it positions us for healing. And so today, as we bring things to close, we're going to take communion together, and then we are going to pray, and we are going to believe God. And I just want to challenge you, even the five things we touched on today, if you are listening to me and you go, man, okay, yeah, I really see in my heart that I've had a lack of knowledge, right? I've been maybe lazy in this area instead of really studying the Word and spending time in the Word. Well, just make a commitment in your heart. You're going to change that today. Maybe you're going, man, I'm prayerless. Like, I don't pray. I never pray. Well, you can change that today. Maybe you guys, man, I've been just kind of in doubt and unbelief, and I've been negative about these things. You know, I want to change that. You know, make that decision today. If you say, you know, I think there's some traditions that have really held me back, well, make a decision today that I choose the Word. Maybe you said, man, there's been some natural laws I'm breaking. I know God's been talking about these things. Today, make the decision. Amen? So let's get the elements for communion together. Again, give you a moment to go and get your own elements today if you want to. But we're going to have this opportunity to take the Lord's Supper together. And so let's just pray together and might give a few of you moments if you got to dash and get your stuff. And let's take this together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today, even as we've been focusing on this Healing Sunday, on just some understanding of what your Word teaches us of why we're not healed. But again, the heart of this is so when we see these things, we can bring change and we can bring alignment. And so even as we take communion together today, I pray that you will speak to each one of us about any area of alignment we need to come into. God, forgive us for where we've been dropping the ball and blaming it on you. God, help us to contend and to press together for all you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, the Bible says on the same night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do so in remembrance of me. Let's take this bread together today in remembrance of him. Scriptures also say he took the cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. Let's drink together today in remembrance of him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. What I want you to do is if you're there with family, in community, if someone is sick, I want you to lay hands on them. If you're by yourself, just even by faith, lay hands on yourself. The Bible says believers lay hands on the sick, they recover. And let's pray and let's declare. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus. We thank you for the finished work of Christ, that when Jesus died and he rose again, it was more than enough for every need we'd ever have. Your blood is sufficient, and we thank you for this today, Lord Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus right now, I speak healing to every person who is in the sound of my voice. Every person who can see me, every person who hear me, we speak healing in Jesus' name. We speak wholeness in Jesus' name. We take authority over every sickness, over every disease, and we declare by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are coming right now on every person. You are coming. The power that is present to heal wherever they are is coming upon them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and declare that backs are being healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you and declare, God, that just leg injuries are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I believe that God is healing someone right now of carpal tunnel syndrome. I just heard that word, that you've had carpal tunnel syndrome, but right now the Lord is healing you. If someone else has had real issues with your hands and pain in your hands, you are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I feel like God is healing some people who have had eye issues, and there's real pain in your eyes, and there's pain, and there's sharp stabbing pains that's connected to migraines. You are being healed now in the name of Jesus. We pray and we declare diabetes is being healed now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and pray just for people who have had just someone listening as I'm having these symptoms, and you don't know what it is, but it's kind of freaking you out a little bit. But I just speak healing in Jesus' name. Those symptoms are stopping now in Jesus' name. There's an Achilles tendon that the Lord is healing right now. There's like an ACL injury, an old ACL injury, and you still have some pain and some things associated. The Lord is bringing healing right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's toes are being healed right now. We just speak healing over those toes in the name of Jesus. Someone has just had real sharp pains across your back. It's being healed now. Shoulders, I feel like God is healing shoulders right now in the name of Jesus. Someone might be, are you going to call it every part of the body? Hey, I just, we believe whatever it is, whether I mention or not, you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, what I want you to do is just to test yourself out. Again, we've had testimonies coming to people are healed right where you are. Some things you can't check right away, but if you can check, check. And if you see a testimony, right, throw it in the comment box. Let us know so we can celebrate with you. But Father, we thank you for your presence to heal. And Lord, I thank you that you are causing us to grow as a family and that everything that hinders people from being healed, we're going to get that sorted out so we can be positioned for power and for what you have for us. In the name of Jesus. Everyone agree with me, said, amen. All right, well, just before we go, I've got one last thing. I'm doing this every week. If you're watching me today and you're not right with God, today is your day to get right with God. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. You know in your heart right now, you know you're not right with God. There's someone, listen to me, you've been backslidden for a long time. Today is your day to come home to Him. God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love by sin. We need to make a decision to turn our back on sin and commit our lives to Jesus. And I encourage you, I challenge you, I implore you. That's a real good kind of fancy word. But I'm just saying to you, come home to the Father today. Make a decision to turn your back on sin. Commit your life to Christ. And I actually want to invite you right where you are right now to pray a simple prayer with me. If you're ready to make that decision, if you're ready to come home, if you're ready to give your life to Christ, let's pray this together. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died. Sorry, I'll slow down. I was running a little fast there. Thank you that you rose again. I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I give my life to you. Take me. Fill me up. Transform me. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, we would love to hear from you. Please make sure just there's some information that's going to come up where you can get in touch with us. We would love to follow up and pray with you. Wherever you are in the world, we'll call you. We'll FaceTime you. We'll get to you. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. Amen. All right. Well, it's been really good to be together every day. Great to take communion. I look forward to hearing the testimonies of healing. I'm going to sign off now. We love you. God bless you. Just after I'm done here, there's going to be some information that's going to come up on the screen, just some reminders of things that are coming up and other things that you can plug into and be involved. We love you. God bless you. It's an honor to be with you. Let's keep pressing forward together. We're walking through this season in strength. We're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and from strength to strength. And we're coming out of this season stronger, more united, deeper in our walk with God, more connected as a spiritual community. Let's do it. Love you. God bless you. See you soon.